Breaking news for anybody doing real estate investing in Hamilton, where if you want to open or close a building permit, you're going to have some troubles right now because the city got hacked and whoever did it is asking for some crazy amount of money. Basically, the system is in limbo. And if you have any projects that you want to start or on the go, as far as permits go, you might be a little stuck. Let's talk about that.
In a business full of firsts that you never know what you're going to see, I would not guess that we would be having this conversation right now that we cannot apply for a building permit when for years I've had multiple conversations with building department officers begging me and threatening to fine me to apply for a building permit. Well, where are you now? Where are you now, buddy?
No, it's definitely a weird thing because, you know, There was a time where, like, I used to do a lot of unpermitted work, right? It's just like, we had these properties. They were ramshackle to begin with, right? And you kind of just continued along with whatever it was, right? So you had these non-conforming properties. Not non-conforming. They just were illegal rental units, right? Yeah. Triplexes owned as single-family homes. And then, you know, the building department wants you to get them in order, right? Yep. And the minute you do any renovations to it or try to keep it up to date, they come and they slap an order on your door saying you have to get a permit. And then when you can't get a permit because the building doesn't comply, then you're kind of stuck, right? But now you can't open a building permit and you can't close it. Why is that happening?
Well, there's something to do with their systems because they got hacked. They're not really saying, you know, what was compromised. They're saying nothing was compromised. They said everything was encrypted. I listen to the press conference. You know, I read the paper every day, so I read all these updates. And you know what? For Hamilton Spectator, which is a pretty big newspaper in the city of Hamilton, where a lot of other cities don't have big newspapers anymore. Brantford really doesn't have a big one. It's a dying thing. So to have the Hamilton Spectator, that's a big newspaper in a bigger city, not really reporting on what's going on while we are under attack, it's kind of crazy. And it kind of makes me think that, you know, they're trying to keep it quiet for some type of reason. They're not telling you what was affected. They're not telling you what the ransom was, when it will be fixed. So we don't really know what's going on. There's a couple things that are still working that never been affected. You can still pay fees for the bus. There's no problem, right? That still works. Everything works like that. You know, one of the big things that doesn't work is to apply for a building permit, they say you have to walk in.
Yeah.
You have to go physically in.
Okay. So it's the system that's down for the online permits. But if you go
E-plans in Hamilton.
E-plans in Hamilton. Okay, no. So if you started your permit on E-plans, that means that is everything just gone? Are the documents lost?
Question for the mayor. Question for the mayor. Question not for me. Yeah. And what they would say is that nothing was lost, but there was a breach, but nothing was lost. So, like, I don't know what that means. It's like, kind of like breaking into a bank, but you just did it because you could do it.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, I broke into the bank, and then you left.
Yeah.
And then you left. So that's what it sounds like. I don't know.
Yeah, but what we do know is that certain things just don't work right now. Like, for example, I have a permit going on a property, and we want to close it up. And it's an interesting one because the permit is going from what is essentially a commercial zoning to a residential zoning, and right now it's still zoned commercial. The work is done. Yep. We're waiting for final inspection and closing up the permit. But until the permit is closed, the zoning doesn't change. Yep. So we want to sell the property, but until the city of Hamilton gets up and at them, we can't close the building permit, and therefore we can't. I actually don't know how this is going to affect the sale of the property. I don't know, like, because now when somebody buys it, it's not going to be zoned residential, which means the financing, as far as bank goes, might not go through.
Yeah, it's definitely going to, if you're selling the property right now, would delay the closing.
Yeah,
because we need that final inspection. However, the city is saying that everything's going on as normal. One thing that's not going on as normal is that they're not paying any city workers their overtime right now. That has been compromised, so they're still getting the regular pay. But their overtime is not, they're not getting their overtime. Makes no sense to me. Maybe these attackers, like, did some crazy stuff because they didn't take the regular, I don't know. Again, it makes no sense.
They hit the overtime hours.
It doesn't make any sense to me at all. But maybe, and I guess, so all these building inspectors that are working overtime are no longer working overtime because they don't know if they'll be paid for it, or they're tracking their hours on a spreadsheet. Like,
there might not be as much work, because the thing about it is that as far as I understood, because my dad recently went to apply for a permit on something completely separate, and when he went there, he said that they turned him down. They said that you can't apply for a new permit right now, which I was surprised about.
Yeah, it's total opposite of what the city's saying.
That's interesting.
Come walk in.
Okay, anybody who's listening, and you, if you have recently done a permit since this incident happened, do let us know in the comments, because I'm interested to know whether or not you are actually allowed to apply. Because in a couple of cases, I know people who have been told to apply by a court, like, you know, something, the property's in violation, not in good standing, and you have to apply for a permit, you got to get the process going. You start with a permit application, or if you got a stop order on a project that you were doing, they deem the work to require a permit, they'll put the order on the door that says, apply for permit.
Yep.
But now, if you can't, what do you do, right? So you kind of stuck. So I'm really interested to know know how this is going to be developing. But from what I understand also, they're not exactly planning on, you know, negotiating with terrorists, so to speak, right? They don't want to pay whatever ransom it is that these hackers are asking for essentially holding their system hostage.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing that when all this stuff happens, you start figuring out how, you know, these cities operate, is that if you pay them, they're just going to do it again in 6 months. They'll just do it again in a year. You can't really pay them, okay? You're stuck in that hard place. But the city also has insurance on cyber attacks.
Mm.
And we did a podcast, you know, a little while ago on insurance and how you can get warranties and insurance on everything. You can get insurance on if you have Norton antivirus or not.
Yeah, this is the funny one because this is one of those things where we'll be all like, why is the city paying for this type of thing? But now, if they're actually leveraging it, well, we're really glad the city has this.
Yeah, you're a genius whoever signed that.
Exactly. But let's see if the city's actually going to leverage that properly. Actually, wait, they're probably going to get the money from the insurance. We're going to find out how much they spent to build a new system. And we're like, why did you spend this much money to build this system that doesn't even work? The old system worked way better.
Yeah, obviously the old system didn't work way better. Obviously it wasn't as secure as they thought.
No, the old system was trash, to be honest.
Yeah.
Actually, and the old system was so complicated that, you know, on
I don't
one
know
sense,
if the I don't know if the interface that we see will change. I don't know. I don't think that's going to be a thing.
No, you know what? It was bad. By the way, like for some of these guys, like contractors especially that are applying for permits, so all these guys are older guys. And I met this older Portuguese guy here in Hamilton, and he was working on a project. He was complaining about it, how he tried to use the interface. He applied for permit. He put everything online, and all the files were there. But the lady on the other side couldn't see the files. And he went to the building department, asked them. And when he's like, "Hey, like, let me show you what's going on here," their interface, he said, was different from his interface, and they couldn't tell him how to use his side of the interface. They sent him a link to a manual.
Yeah.
So there's not even any like customer support to call and say, "Hey, how do I do X, Y, and Z?" Right? Which is kind of a problem that it doesn't seem like anybody on the city side actually knows or is available to the public to tell somebody how to use the system. I guess there should be YouTube videos about this or something.
Yeah, and I think every city might use a different variation of these building permit systems.
Yeah.
Right? Is that they create their own type of, you know, in Hamilton, we have e-plans. Yeah. Well, there's a thing that if you're a homeowner, you can paper and pen your drawings.
Mm.
And I could just imagine how not excited they would be to review those.
Yeah.
And I would be curious to know if anybody has actually done that and they got accepted.
Well, I mean, you know, imagine somebody wants to do something to their own house. They're physically capable and they know how to build houses and they know how to do this. Like a lot of these older like European guys that you see sometimes doing work to their properties, like they can do some crazy stuff. Like the way they build, like you see some of these Portuguese guys, like they're building stuff that like honestly it's beyond code.
Yeah.
As in like it well surpasses anything that the city requires of them.
Yeah.
But they don't know how to use e-plans, right? They don't, and they might not have the money to go pay an architect to go and draw out something pretty and measure and print it out on AutoCAD.
Yeah. And then we have the other builders, which is crazy, from Toronto that come down, buy places in your neck of the woods in the north end of Hamilton, tear down a house and build this mansion on this house, and then the house starts falling down.
Oh, yeah, that happened in the Bayfront, right? Like the one where it's leaning.
It's leaning.
They had to vacate each side, the properties on each side of it.
The building department didn't even catch it. An off-duty building inspector that lives in the area was walking his dog and looked up and goes, "Hey, there's something wrong with that house." And the next day, they came down, they shut down the street, and they had to demolish half the house.
Did they actually demolish half the house?
They had to, it was going to fall over.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they had to make it structurally sound.
Yeah, and I bet they had building permits.
I bet you that designer knew how to use e-plans, you know, like the back of his hand.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. That's a problem. And I think you see a lot of guys that are getting away from their own business. Because if you have your own renovation company, you do need to, it's part of the business now, invoicing, right? Invoicing on QuickBooks and, you know, it's not paper and pen, e-plans, you know. So if you're just an old school builder, we have guys that work on our team that could, you know, build a brand new house for us. They have troubles, you know, typing up invoices, let alone applying on e-plans. So maybe this hacking might revert this to go back to normal. Because at one point, I never even heard of someone walking to the building department to apply for a permit.
Mm.
You know, that's old school, right? Ever since I've been in real estate, it's been online. If everything was walk-in, you know, a hacker's not hacking.
Yeah, that's so true. And the truth is that I feel like things like e-plans are, to be honest, more convenient for architects, engineering firms
that are remote.
That are remote and that will want to do this for large scale things. But a lot of the times people, like, honestly, being able to go in wasn't such a bad thing. But, like, honestly, every time I go to the building department, it's not like it's busy.
Anytime I go to City Hall, it's not like it's busy. And we have a whole block downtown Hamilton that is the City Hall, which is should be affordable housing. Doesn't it make sense that the biggest affordable housing tower is where the mayor works?
Yeah. Yeah, well, they decorate it really nice every year, so.
Yeah, the big tree and, what is it, Tiger Cat Bush that's made into, like, a dog. How much money they spend on that and a fountain.
Well, I mean, this goes to show priority. So I'm really interested to see, though, how they're going to go about improving the system or rebuilding it, right? And whether or not it's going to change anything. Because the building department has been a little bit archaic in the ways. And to be honest, something like this happening, it is, well, it does suck for the city in many respects, and actually for the people who have permits on the go and need to get things done, right? And also for the taxes that are being collected, right? Like, it's a problem the expenses, across the board.
Yeah, the expenses that the city's facing, sure.
So the city does need to correct it. No, but the city does need to correct this. And this is where there's always the silver lining, right? It's kind of like even with COVID, right? Like, it actually forced a lot of progression, right? A lot of progress when it came to, you know, things that could be transacted or handled remotely started to get handled remotely, right? And even, for example, rent collection, we talk about this all the time, where, like, you know, anybody who was paying cash now was paying online somehow.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, cash is dirty, right? You don't want to be handling it to begin with. Yeah. And honestly, even with the papers and the e-filing and all this stuff, like, this is also an opportunity for the city to improve things and make things better.
I agree. Sometimes you need something like COVID to wake up and smell the roses.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what, you know, for us in real estate, that's what it did.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, we don't need to go collect cash and, you know, we can do more stuff remotely. We can talk to someone on the phone instead of going to see, you know, the problem. Maybe this will happen with the city. The difference between, you know, COVID and real estate and our changes versus the city is that the city never changes. So even COVID, like, nothing really changed there.
Well, in terms of the things that I am really hoping to see improvements on is the turnover time. So, for example, I know that they say whenever we file a building permit, if it's a complex one, it can take a longer time. If it's simple and straightforward, they say it should only take a few weeks.
Yeah.
And they have, I think, a response time of, what is it, 2 weeks? They say they have to get back to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but what they do is they get back to you with a revision request, and then the stop clock just hits, right?
Yeah,
they hit the stop clock. So,
well, they get back
to you. Yeah. So because they got back to you within the time frame, whatever it is, I think it's 2 weeks, now they can take longer on the rest of it, right? So we had a building permit, for example, take like 6-7 months. And that can be very troublesome for somebody who has bills to pay on that property. And like, you should always budget for more. But the thing is that sometimes it's annoying when the only reason why these things happen is because they're overloaded. And oftentimes, there's actually not that many building permits going on. I remember I was looking at a stat and it wasn't that much considering the amount of staff they have, but they have a bureaucratic system that can definitely be leaned down. So I really do hope that they improve things in such a way where the checks aren't as, you know, there's a lot of redundancies that are in the current system.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think that this problem is going to speed them up in any sort of way.
No, as I'm saying it out loud, I just realized I said something that I'm really hoping for. I don't think that this is something that is likely to happen, because now that I'm thinking about it, they're going to have senior staff that are going to have to learn an entirely new system.
That's why it won't be a new system. It'll just be protected differently.
Okay.
Right, the system will always stay the same. It's just all back end stuff, but it's going to slow down the inspectors. It's going to slow down, you know, those changes in zoning. It's going to slow down everything. So we're seeing it when we apply for permits, something like even fire orders, which happens a lot, especially we're doing this student licensing pilot in the West End. Right?
Oh, is it affecting that?
It's affecting that because you need records. Right? A lot of these houses that are going into, there's a couple kitchens in them.
Yeah, I feel like something like this has happened a couple times. Do you remember how they used to say that if you applied for a permit or submitted drawings before a certain time, there was like a flood or something at the building department and all the records were lost?
Yeah.
They said something like that. I remember, I don't know, this was like before I was applying for permits. But I mean, now they can say that, oh, well, I had submitted certain things, and now people can say, oh, maybe this was lost. And because of that, maybe certain properties that are problematic or have issues, people can ask for a certain, let's say, leeway on these properties.
Yeah.
Even with a student rental pilot project for the landlording permits, right?
Yeah. I don't know if leeway is going to be the right word. I think time forgiveness might be a thing.
Yeah.
Right? But the city never gives you leeway.
Because you said fire, right? Fire department, right? The fire department can come down on you pretty hard, especially with some significant fines.
And a lot of the fire department, what they're looking for is like use. They really want to know, you know, not only is the building safe, obviously, but that's easy. That's quick, right? We can put smoke alarms in every single room of the house, and the house is going to be the safest possible. If there's not two exits, then we need a building permit. But stuff like the use of the building, right? You know the difference why you can't sleep in a commercial unit versus a residential house, and why the fire department hates that so much?
Tell me.
Because there's different fire codes when it comes to commercial versus residential. There's different places to put smoke alarms, right? That's why they hate it so much. It's dangerous.
It's funny.
You can't just sleep in a storefront. It's dangerous.
It's funny you mentioned that, though, because there was a pretty widely accepted workaround with that. So Ryerson University, I think they changed the name, right? From Ryerson to something
Toronto
else.
Toronto Metropolitan
yeah,
University.
Whatever, yeah, so back then, Ryerson University, they had a building that was effectively being used as a dorm, but the classification was that it was used as like some kind of an office space that had a napping area. Kids would essentially go work there and sleep there.
Yeah.
And they got around that, but it was pretty much understood that, you know, people were sleeping there like full time. People were living there pretty much.
Yeah.
Right? And they got around that. And it was pretty widely accepted and known, but it was just like a thing. Right. And I don't even know how like an organization goes about doing something like that. Right. But it's these weird loopholes.
Yeah. Loopholes to the fire department's always been reasonable. The inspectors there are totally different than the building department inspectors.
I don't know. Fire department's being reasonable.
No, they just want safe. Like, and, you know, in our line of work, I don't want you to live in a house where there's like not enough exits. And if something did happen, if a fire started here,
yeah,
you're dead.
Yeah. No, that's screwed up.
I don't want to own that house.
Yeah. Right? You don't want to rent out something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And not only I don't want to own that house. I don't want to own that house and then dodge the fire department.
Okay, but how does the fire department and the issue with a hack to the city affect?
Because they need records, they need drawings.
And this is all to get stored building with that city system.
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting. Because sometimes I always felt like the fire department and the city, at least the building department, are a little bit disconnected in terms of like the enforcement, right? So the building inspector and the fire inspector are going to be two different people. And the way that the fire inspector is going to look at the place is not so much about how it's zoned and what it technically is as much as it is how the building is being used, right? So yeah. Fire department problems can go away if you eliminate the use of the building that they have an issue with, right? They don't care if you're... Well, it's not that they don't care. Your property could be, for example, single family home. But if you have locks on all the doors and you're renting by the room, they will consider it rooming.
Yeah.
And then they'll tell you that according to rooming requirements, you have to have interconnected fire detectors in each room.
Yep.
But according to single family home bylaw or building code, you don't.
Yep.
Right? So you'll find a conflict there.
Yeah. And it's what I like to think or tell owners when we have these troubles is it's like the police and then the FBI. Mm. The FBI still police. They still arrest you. But they're going to look at you for different things.
Yeah. Let's go over really quickly some of the potential problems that can arise from this issue with the city happening, with somebody hacking the system, and what are the potential problems that people might face?
The problems that we might face is that we have more homeowners using this as an excuse to not get the permits.
Okay.
To say that, hey, I tried to apply. Mm. I'm no longer in the country, right? That's a simple excuse. I'm not a guy of good excuses, but you know that would be one that comes right at the top of my head. And then we have more people at risk. We have more people, you know, living in that commercial unit when maybe an inspector was there a week before the cyber hack happened. And if that's the case, then, you know, it's definitely wrong, and you're maybe putting people at risk here. So there's
so
a little
enforcement
bit
goes down.
Of course enforcement goes down. Yeah, like there's, you know, they're pushing paper, right? Enforcement is, from the city, is what I call pushing paper. Mm. That's the only way that they enforce it, right? They can't put handcuffs on you like the police.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're going to push paper. They're going to put an order on your door, but there's nowhere to track that order. So let's talk back to the place that you're trying to close on or list for sale and then close and how that affects that. If we did those renovations without a permit.
Yeah.
Okay, and the city comes in, they slap an order on your door with the green tape.
Yeah.
Okay, and they put that to your property title, where your lawyer needs to search that on closing to make sure the title's free and clear. How does this cyber incident affect that? Those new homeowners could have just bought a house with an order on it. Crazy, right?
And that order, technically, I wonder, that order wouldn't even show right now if somebody was searching it. Because you wouldn't...
You can't use E-plans.
Yeah, you can. But that also means that order is gone, too.
I don't know. Again, that's a question for the mayor. I don't know if that order is gone.
Nothing's compromised. It's all still there. But, you know,
they said nothing was taken. So, like, I would assume it's still there. It's just going to, you know, take it a little bit for it to load.
Yeah. Right? Okay. So that's a problem. So basically now what that also means though is that people who had something on the go can maybe might start to play with how... I wonder actually what I'm thinking might happen, and this is kind of what I'm worried about for our own property, is that we did all this work, we had all these inspections, and the inspector who actually was doing the initial inspections happened to retire just recently. So you combine this guy's retirement also with the fact that all the paper trail is essentially gone. Are they going to make me restart the whole process? I'm ready for final inspection.
Great question. I would assume, again, we don't work for the city, but I'm assuming the city isn't governed by anybody, which basically means that if they told you to start over, you have nobody to complain to other than the city.
Yeah.
So that would be crazy for them to do that. I don't think that will happen. But yeah, you're going to face delays. And it is one of those things where you can warrant a lot of things. You can put a lot of things in the purchase and sale agreement. Something as simple that basically if the house that we're selling was a residential house and we're turning it into a duplex, triplex, fourplex, and it's residential financing, the mortgage underwriters wouldn't really, I don't see a problem with saying warrant the purchase and sale agreement by saying it is a legal triplex and we have until 120 days, 150 days after closing to approve that or face a penalty of $1,000 a day. Or I don't see an underwriter having a problem with that type of clause in there because of this. However, since we're going from commercial to residential, or if we were doing vice versa, yeah, like the financing is impacted. One little problem of the cyber hacking, or not little problem, but you know, this is how it affects us right now.
Can the city collect taxes?
If you pay your property tax not through a bank,
yeah,
they cannot collect your property tax. It does not come out of your bank right now.
That's interesting.
Yes.
So if it's not included in your mortgage?
Correct.
Then, and you just pay it through the either the automatic payment or they send you the mail saying that it's your biannual payment time or whatever.
Yeah.
Then yeah, they can't collect it. Yeah, that's revenue for them that they're losing.
Yep.
So they got to get on this pronto.
Yeah.
I think that'll be good motivation for the city to, like, you know, get it up and running.
Politicians don't want to look silly.
And they don't want to look like they like that these cyber terrorists really screwed them up. They got to show that they have their hands on the reins and they're able to take control of the situation and, like, get over things, right?
Yes. You want to use this in your election to get reelected, that when stuff does happen.
Yeah, that you handle it. Because otherwise the next guy is going to come and say, look how they handled this,
that's
right?
That's what happened, like, to COVID and politicians.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. Makes sense. I'd be very excited to see how this goes. Let's see how our permits turn out.
Yes, yes. I don't know if excited is the word, but I hope it's finished quickly.
Interesting times.
Yes, yes. Okay.